This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Wisconsin is known for a lot of things: dairy, sausage making, manufacturing, the Packers, beer. But it is not the first place you think of when you talk about fashion. Yet, for the better part of a century, one Wisconsin family created a fashion legacy that gives us a glimpse of a strata of American society that normally doesn't get the spotlight.
A new exhibit at the Museum of Wisconsin Art showcases the clothes of six generations of the Roddice family, who lived an upper-middle-class life in Marshfield. I met with the museum's director of collections, Graham Reed, and exhibition curator Edward Mader, who explains why this collection is so important.
The collection is probably the most studied and researched collection of its type in the United States. It's a collection of about 250 pieces from 1850 to 1995, from four generations of one family. And it's an upper-middle-class family from Marshfield, Wisconsin, and this is a class of people that has never really been studied from the point of view of their fashion, what they wore, what they thought about it, how their travel affected it, how their education affected it, all of these kinds of things. And that's what we have endeavored to do in the book.
Normally when we think of fashion, you know, we think of very wealthy people. We think of Paris fashions. We think of things that most people aren't actually wearing. They're sort of almost costume. They almost cross over into that. What does studying this kind of collection teach us about ourselves?
Well, it teaches us about taste. And there are 10,000 letters in the archive of this family. They never threw away anything. So they talk about their clothes and what they mean and how significant they are. And when Augusta, as a 12-year-old child, went up to the attic and opened up her grandmother's trunks, she said, "There were her clothes bearing mute but eloquent testimony over the years to her refinement and taste."
What a wonderful thing to write.
Yes, and she wrote this to her niece in 1973. And it's interesting because 1973, I was in London, and I had two of her dresses from the collection, which I had taken with me to Europe to restore. One I restored in England and the other in Switzerland. And the dress that I restored in England is here in the exhibition.
Now, you said you grew up only a few miles away from this. How did you first find out about the collection in the first place?
Well, I was working at the State Historical Society of Wisconsin in 1972 doing something called Patterns of History, which were for the bicentennial. And they were dresses from 1830 to 1900. And I was working with the late, great Joan Severa, who was the curator for many years. And Miss Roddice read about this project and contacted me and said, "I have a family collection. I would love you to see it." And so I went up to Marshfield. And the rest, as they say, is history. And in 2011, I got an email from her niece, Jane Bradbury, in London, saying, "Are you the same Edward Mader who restored two dresses for my Aunt Augusta back in the 70s? I'm going to be inheriting the collection, a large part of the collection, and I want to do an exhibition and a book. And are you interested?" And 5.5 years later, here we are.
Wow. Wow. And how wonderful that this has been preserved and that we can look at it and kind of see ourselves reflected in this, even if this were not things that we personally wore.
Well, clothes are communication, and that's the bottom line. My professor in London used to say, "We think our clothes cover us when in fact they reveal our true selves as silently we inspect one another."
So, Graham, this is one of the things that the museum is doing. I mean, the entire museum is almost taken over with fashion. What is it that tips it into the art realm?
I think that a lot of the same criteria apply, whether you're doing ceramics or painting or photography. You know, a dressmaker has to, you know, select their fabrics. They have to design the fabrics. So, I mean, in some ways that's like akin to a painter selecting his palette and his composition and the scale. And, you know, each designer will have a particular style, just as each artist has a particular style. So I think a clothing designer, I mean, it's just a different medium, really, than any other, what you might call traditional, was kind of generally considered as the more traditional artistic media.
And obviously, Edward, you agree with that, that this is an artistic expression as well as a practical one.
Oh, yes, of course. But, and there's one added thing to it, because it's art in motion. because people wear dresses and garments, and they move in them, and they walk, and they talk, and they eat, and they communicate, and so on. So it's art in motion.
Well, let's look. I know they're not out yet exactly because you're in the middle of setting them up, but can you take me to a couple of pieces that are particularly exciting from the
Certainly.
Collection? All right,
Certainly.
So which one would you like to start with?
The one that's on the cover of the book, we call it the Buck Rogers dress because it looks like something straight out of Buck Rogers from the Century of Progress, the Chicago World's Fair of 1933. And we believe that this was made by Augusta's mother, Catherine. And there are all different kinds of reasons why we believe that. But this she wore when she was a student at Northwestern, and she was a she graduated from Northwestern in 1937, and her mother graduated from Northwestern in 1906. So the family was extremely educated. There are abolitionists on both sides of the family. There are letters in the archive from Susan B. Anthony, who was a friend of her grandmother's. So this dress is kind of the epitome of modern, of the chic architectural. The belt is made with metal mesh.
I love the
and,
belt.
And this swept up collar is edged with sheared beaver. I mean, it's really a kind of knockout piece. And there are a number of them in the collection. The blue one was also made by Catherine, and probably from a pattern, from a commercial pattern. But it's made in four pieces, and it's just exquisite. It just is an example of the kind of taste. That a family in Marshfield, Wisconsin, you know, who were educated and traveled, would use.
Well, I love this because the draping is so amazing. And you say four pieces, and I can see there's like a tiny little seam
One,
there.
Two, this is three.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. And you think, wow.
Yes.
Just the technique required. Right. Just you know the competence and, in dressmaking required.
And it's rayon. And of course, and the prom dress, which is also here, is from 1932, and she was queen of the prom. Augusta was queen of the prom in 1932, and it's a bias cut dress. It's a takeoff of a Madeleine Vionnet, and it cost $19.95. And she wrote and she said, "If there was ever anything better in the world, I didn't know it."
I think this is one of the salient aspects of this collection is I think a lot of times people might expect that, you know, a collection of clothing like this would come from an extremely, you know, wealthy, high society family. And this was a good, solid Midwestern, you know, upper middle class family. But, I think probably one of the mantras about the whole family in the collection is quality, not quantity. And as you read the book that Jane and Edward wrote, I mean, as I say, we've just pointed out two dresses that were basically made by family members. So it wasn't simply a case of they could just go out and they just went out and bought dresses willy-nilly. I mean, every piece was very carefully considered and purchased. And not just for worn just for like a season, but in many cases these dresses were worn for considerable number of years. So there's a kind of this good, there's this kind of in the best possible way, solid middle class Midwestern thrift and prudence about this collection.
Talk a little bit more about how this exhibition is going to fit into what's going on in the museum as a whole, because this is not the only fashion-related exhibition that's happening, right?
No, it's actually one of four exhibitions. So we have the Roddice Collection. We're also doing the first major retrospective on Florence Eisman, the Milwaukee-based children's wear designer. And we've been working with the Chipstone Foundation on that, and we've put together a spectacular installation of Florence Eisman clothing. And the Chipstone Foundation, Sarah Ann Carter's written a marvelous essay for the catalogue on how Florence Eisman really changed how children were dressed and how childhood was regarded after the Second World War. And then Miranda Levy Adler, who's on the staff here, she is a fashion designer in her own right, and she has assembled nine other contemporary Wisconsin fashion designers. And so in the State Gallery downstairs, we have a marvelous exhibition of very much kind of cutting edge contemporary Wisconsin fashion. And then to round it all off, last but not least, Daniel Arnold, who's originally from Milwaukee, is basically the biggest name in contemporary street fashion photography in New York. He's done work for the New York Magazine, the New Yorker, Vogue, and numerous others. And basically, we're going to have an exhibition of his photographs, street fashion in New York, and that will be on our balcony, our one gallery as well. So there's really four exhibitions, all very much with Wisconsin connections in one way, shape, or form.
And I have to say, Edward, you know, you say fashion, and Wisconsin is usually not the first state that comes to mind.
No. We think of what my father's occupation was, which was making cheese. However, Wisconsin was a very large producer of shoes, and people have forgotten that there were some very important shoe manufacturers here in Wisconsin.
So fashion has been a part of us for a long time.
Oh, yes. And when you're in a small community in a kind of isolated place like the Midwest, one of the ways that you connect to society, this family read London newspapers and New York newspapers. They subscribed to Vogue. They subscribed to 17 Magazine and all of these guys. In fact, one of the dresses here in the exhibition was featured in 17 Magazine in 1945. There's a full picture of the dress, and we have it. And the other fascinating thing about working on these is that it opened all kinds of doors. For example, that particular dress opened a door to the discovery of a fashion designer that nobody has ever even heard of, who did all of the clothes for Bess Meyerson when she was Miss America in 1945. And I've tracked this person down. And there's another dress that was made by a designer that really hardly anyone has ever heard of, who had made two inaugural gowns for Eleanor Roosevelt. And I tracked this man down and his niece, who was there when Eleanor had her fittings, and the Smithsonian didn't know it. So this collection has been a kind of catalyst. The whole family is a kind of microcosm of what was going on, not only here, but around the world. And to me, that's what makes it so interesting.
Well, and the clothes are pretty spectacular, too, I have to say.
Yes, they are. The clothes are charming. Unfortunately, they're not in movement. You can't see them moving, but you can imagine them.
Well, Edward, I want to thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're busy trying to get this installed, and I so appreciate you taking time. But you and Graham, thank you both so much.
It was a great pleasure, and I hope people will come and enjoy this wonderful collection.
Graham Reed is Director of Collections for the Museum of Wisconsin Art in West Bend. Edward Mader curated the new exhibit, the Roddus Collection, American Style and Spirit.
It's part of a museum-wide exhibition called A State of Fashion, which also includes Milwaukee children's clothing designer Florence Eisman and an exhibit featuring many modern Wisconsin designers. It runs until mid-September, and there is more information at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.